Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. You have Red Sox versus Yankees in baseball, Facebook versus Google in the tech world, but when it comes to the best music rivalries, you have to go back a ways. Neil Young versus Lynyrd Skynyrd, Tupac against Biggie, Oasis or Blur?
You don't like not being fated as the greatest living songwriter in England. You can't stand that. And, of course, he wasn't at the time and I was. And he wanted a bit of the action. And you know what annoys me the most about it all? It's Blur and Oasis. Why did their name get put first? It's f***ing Oasis and Blur. F***ing sake. Hats off to him for that.
Oasis's lead singer Noel Gallagher there talking about Blur lead singer Damon Albarn. The British tabloids took the bait, proclaiming Blur versus Oasis, the battle of Britpop. And fans were more than willing to play along. The music world has not had one of those petty, bitter, record-selling public dust-ups for a while. Our guest Stephen Hayden, staff writer at Grantland.com, asked why in his article, Whatever Happened to Music Rivalries? Stephen, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So you were quite willing to take sides in the Blur versus Oasis battle, which really mattered in Britain. So give us a little backstory about why you pick sides.
The way that rivalry began was that Oasis and Blur released singles on the same day in England. So it was really this sort of battle of capitalism in the British music scene, but that didn't occur here in the United States. So like if you were an American music fan like I was in the mid-90s, 16, 17 years old, and you really had to invent significance in your own mind, and I was more than willing to do that.
So what did being on the Oasis side of this rivalry entail for you?
They were coming out of grunge, you know, like where you had a lot of bands that were very ambivalent about being rock stars. You had this band Oasis that where the first song on their first record is called Rock and Roll Star, you know, and it's about wanting to be famous and wanting to be rich.
I'm a rock and roll star.
It was a very working class perspective, you know, because they were coming from nothing. And I think that's what they represented to me, that they were this sort of like, you know, people's band. And if you liked Oasis for that reason, it was really easy to look at Blur as sort of the antithesis of that. You know, like if this were like Animal House, Oasis was like John Belushi, and like Blur were like, you know, like the snooty like fraternity, you know. So you're gonna cheer for the slobs, not the snobs, or at least that's where I came at it from.
And it was pretty hard to shake for you, apparently. Why do you think it stayed with you so long after spiky gelled male hair and the Caesar haircut went out of style?
You know, it's funny. I think this is true for a lot of people, where those opinions about music that you form when you're in high school, they tend to stick with you in ways that you maybe don't even realize when you get older. I mean, I think people tend to still be kind of tribal in a way about like the kinds of music that they like or the bands that they liked. And yeah, you know, what I wrote about in that column was the fact that like for the last 20 years, like I never listened to an entire Blur record. I never listened to any of Damon Albarn's other bands. I just held on to this hate of this guy, like, and it was, and I acknowledge that it's stupid, you know, and I was the wrong one, but like, I don't know, it was like I had such a loyalty to Oasis that I could not bring myself to even listen to anything associated with Blur.
You really showed him.
Exactly.
Well, we're past that now. Today, however, you say that music rivalries like between Blur and Oasis just don't exist anymore. Why not, do you think?
It's not so much that, I mean, because obviously there are still instances where pop stars are arguing with each other and there's beefs and all that. But the difference now is that, you know, in the age of social media, it's so much easier to start a fight with somebody and then to also end a fight mm-hmm. with somebody. I mean, all you have to do is send out, you know, 140 characters, you know, mildly disparaging someone, and the internet will take that and run with it. I think that you need a certain amount of space to let like the dislike be truly marinated, you know, to truly marinate in that dislike
between
two people, you know. And I don't know if we have that anymore. I think things just get blown out of proportion so quickly, you know, the fuel kind of burns really fast and then it's gone.
So take us through some of the great pre-internet age musical death matches.
Well, I think probably the greatest one ever is Beatles versus Stones. In a way, I feel like that's like the blueprint for every other feud that's happened since, because in that case, you had a really obvious kind of black and white option. You had like the good guys and you had like the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And some people liked the bad guys because they thought the good guys were too goody-goody, you know, and that kind of dichotomy exists in a lot of other rivalries. You mentioned Biggie and Tupac
mm-hmm.
being a huge one. And in that case, you had East Coast hip hop versus West Coast hip hop, you know, the originators of rap and like the upstarts.
Who shot ya? Separate the weak from the ops. Leap hard to creep them Brooklyn streets. Your heartbeat sound like Sasquatch feet. Thundering, shaking the concrete. Saw me in the drop, 3 1/4. Slaughter, electrical tape around the daughter. Old school, new school, need to learn though. I burn, baby, burn like disco inferno. Burn slow.
You mentioned Neil Young and Lynyrd Skynyrd mm-hmm. before, and I think that's a great rivalry because, I mean, you still see evidence of that today, like the song Sweet Home Alabama name checks Neil Young, because Neil Young wrote a song called Alabama, which
kind not of, entirely complimentary.
Alabama, you got the weight on your shoulders that's breaking your back.
That leads to the question, were these kind of things trumped up to sell more records?
Yeah, I mean, I think to some degree that's certainly the case. But what makes these rivalries important is what they signify to fans. I think like one really significant rivalry of this century is Toby Keith and the Dixie Chicks. After 9/11, Toby Keith wrote a song called The Angry American.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was going to put his boot up the butt of Osama bin Laden.
Because we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list.
Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks made fun of the song and disparaged Toby Keith. But, I mean, I think that is a clear instance of, like, a musical rivalry having larger cultural significance, that, in a way, you could look at just that rivalry and use it as a case study in like how the country was divided mm-hmm. after 9/11, mm-hmm. you know, like how we were united initially and then, you know, what the political divisions were among people with different points of view.
Well, Stephen, do you miss the rivalry? I mean, good for fans, good for the industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good for the industry. Obviously, there's nothing like a fight to get people interested in things. But again, you know, I like to think of pop music as a way that like culture works out their feelings about the world and how we determine what's important. And I think that these rivalries are like the battlegrounds that we use to do that. That
really not sports, not...
Well, sports too. I mean, I'm not saying just pop music, but I think that pop music at its best and at its most significant does do that for the culture. And I think if you lose that, then pop music to me seems a little less vital.
Well, Stephen Hayden, thank you for your time. I guess we can't all just get along.
and thank goodness we can't.
Stephen Hayden, staff writer at Grantland.com. He wrote the article, Whatever Happened to Music Rivalries? You'll find a link to the article on wordofmouthradio.org. And we'd love to know which are your favorite music rivalries. Let us know. We're at wordofmouthradio.org and on facebook.com/wordofmouthradio.
Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Whether based in reality or not, the Beatles versus Rolling Stones rivalry once deeply divided rock and roll fans. Up next, we'll speak with a music writer firmly embedded in Camp Stones. An insider seat at the French villa where Exile on Main Street was made. When Word of Mouth continues.